D-Day, June 6, 1944. Allied forces stormed the beaches at Normandy and finally turned the tide of World War II. Today you can comb through the countless books and films and scarcely find a mention of black American soldiers in that invasion. But they were there, albeit in segregated units. Now a new documentary tries to tell their story. It's called A Distant Shore, African Americans of D-Day. Here's a clip from the film.
I came ashore June 6th, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Can't imagine what it was like. Body in water, blood all over the place. You have nightmares. When I first came home, I had nightmares. And I still don't like to talk about it.
A Distant Shore airs on the History Channel this Saturday. NPR's Tony Cox got together with the director of the film, Doug Cohen, and 87-year-old D-Day veteran David Brown. Cohen says of all the work he's done on the Second World War, this was the most difficult to research.
Because there is no book called African Americans of D-Day. You've got to really dig deeply into the research to find out little bits of information, putting things together, because this hasn't been written much about in the past, and there hasn't been much of this story told before.
How were you able to find David Brown?
David Brown actually came to us in a completely unusual way. His daughter had decided some time ago that it was important for her to document her father's experiences in the war. She got in touch with me and said, "Hey, I've got this interview I shot with my father. I hear you're making this documentary. Could you possibly include it?" And I took a look at it, and she had basically chronicled his entire story. And it turned out David Brown's part of the 490th Port Battalion, an all-African-American battalion. And I had interviewed two other gentlemen earlier in Georgia who are also part of the same battalion. And actually one of the great side effects of this project is that David Brown was able to get in touch with those two men and talk to them about the past, which is always an important thing for World War II veterans.
Mr. Brown, this event happened 63 years ago.
Well, actually, it seemed like it was only yesterday. Those things just don't leave you, you know. You feel as if you're still young, even yet you're old, but you still remember it from every day that you were there.
Well, can you put in perspective for me what it was like to be a black American soldier at that time in that place?
Well, frankly, personally, when you leave the United States, you get to Europe, those differences really actually leave you because there's no separation there. It was all together. And that's where it was in Europe. In fact, in England and France, where in Belgium, where I were. Well, while you're in the States, well, it's a different story altogether.
Well, what I meant was, did you find that the American soldiers, the white American soldiers, did they treat you any differently once you were all together on the battlefield in Europe?
Once we were together on the battlefield, it was like everybody was the same. Nobody made any difference whatsoever. This was our pressure fine. Yeah, everybody there, either your name was Mate or Mac, because nobody knew anybody. And everybody was friendly, and no one seemed to want to be away from someone because he was black or white.
Now, let me ask you, Doug, in your research and in some of the other interviews that were part of the documentary, others had a different perspective.
Of the seven or so men that I interviewed, a great many of them dealt with a lot of pain from mistreatment by white troops. I had very difficult experiences in the training camps in the South, particularly in Camp Stewart, Georgia, was one place where several of the men were stationed, and there were riots and all sorts of problems. One of the most interesting things I found researching and telling the story is that when they got overseas, the reception in England couldn't have been more different. There was no segregation. The people of England, in fact, embraced them, and I think Mr. Brown experienced that contrast himself.
Tell us how you felt, Mr. Brown, about being a black soldier in World War II, in combat, at a time when you knew that back home Jim Crow was still the order of the day and that your rights as a citizen were not what they should have been. Did that cause you any conflict to be able to go and fight for the country that wasn't treating you the way that you should have been?
Well, you know, personally, we didn't feel, at least personally, and I know and a lot of other veterans felt the same way, we weren't going there fighting for anyone but yourself, the guy in front of you and the fellas on both sides of you and the fellas behind you. When you come back, all this other stuff that you talk about back here in the country leaves you because you are there, you're so busy protecting the fellas in front of you, the fellas on both sides of you, and one behind you. And this is as far as you go. And this way, you are number one, and you can make it. But otherwise, if you put too much in your mind there, you forget about what happened back home there, because you know what happened back home is going to be there when you get back.
And that's the case, too, isn't it? When you got back home, what did you find when you got back to Memphis in 1946?
Well, it started when we got to discharge day in Fort Knox, Kentucky there, at Fort Knox. We did all right, and we was all together until we got to the train station to come home. There was colored waiting room, white waiting room, colored drinking fountain, and when the train comes, the black got on one side of the train and coach, and the white got on the other. We just got off the train from New York. When we got off the ship, we was all together, but when we got to Fort Knox, it was separate.
Many African-American troops talk about this homecoming. Many have stories about how German prisoners of war were treated better here in the States than they were coming back, were allowed to go into dining halls, to go into the PX, as Alan Price says. You know, he came back home, got off the ship in Virginia, and he couldn't go in the PX. And he said the damn German prisoners could go in the PX.
Yeah, this is what we heard before we even got to the States, that the German prisoners was in on the trains and dining cars, and the black soldiers couldn't go in there. We heard this before we even got to the States.
Well, how does it make you feel now to know that your story is finally being told?
Well, frankly, I don't know if people here actually believe it or not. Some people in this country are like that. But we as the veterans, we could care less. We know where we went through it, and that's the name of the game.
What about that, Doug?
When I was in Normandy filming, I went on a tour with a tour guide who seemed to know everything about everything. He knew where each bunker was. He practically knew what happened on each grain of sand. And I told him, I'm going to be working on this film about African Americans of D-Day. And he looked at me with such conviction and said, there were no African Americans on D-Day.
He said that.
He said that. And I said, you know, well, I've just been to the cemetery. And there's the grave of Brooks Stith, 320th Anti-Aircraft Barrage Balloon Battalion. An all-black outfit. Date of death, June 6, 1944. There's the grave of Willie Collins, 490th Port Battalion, Mr. Brown's battalion. Date of death, June 6, 1944.
What'd he say to that?
He had to acknowledge that I was correct. And what more proof do you need than that, than those gravestones sitting there, the voice of people like Mr. Brown? I certainly hope people get the message and come to understand that there were African Americans who served on D-Day in significant numbers.
Let's finish this with this question to you, Mr. Cohen, and that's this. You have an example of one of the guys that you interviewed. He wanted to be in the documentary so badly. Tell me what happened.
Well, we went to Georgia to interview him and a fellow veteran, Charles Sproul. And I got a call when I landed in Georgia that Mr. Blackwell had been taken to the hospital the night before. For emergency surgery. I think it was for cancer. And so I thought, well, the interview's probably not going to go forward. I went off and interviewed Mr. Sproul. I got another call a little while later that said, Mr. Blackwell wants to go ahead with the interview. And I said, wow, he wants to go ahead with the interview. He had surgery just the night before. I pulled up to the hospital with the cameraman, made our way up to his room, and I walked in the room, and there was Mr. Blackwell. He had gotten out of bed, was sitting up in a chair, and he was dressed in his full military uniform. And that to me just hit home that these men have a story that they need to tell and, in fact, are desperate to tell.
That was documentary filmmaker Doug Cohen and D-Day veteran David Brown. They spoke with NPR's Tony Cox. A Distant Shore, African Americans of D-Day, premieres this Saturday on the History Channel.